Good morning. We'd like to open our Bibles this morning to the book of Exodus, chapter 12. I want to thank my sound booth guys for putting this slide up here for us. I'd like to speak on Exodus. I want to sort of not get caught up too much with the slide, but I want to sort of put the slide up there just so people can sort of see which direction we're going. Actually, this morning I was planning on speaking on the seven Passovers in the Old Testament. Seven Passovers, but to start off, we have to get an understanding of what the Passover was, and we'll read from Exodus chapter 12, and we'll read the first 14 verses. And the Lord spoke unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, This month shall be unto you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. That will be like January 1st for us. Speak unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, In the tenth month they shall take every man a lamb, according to the house of the fathers, a lamb for an house. And if the household be too little for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next unto his house take it according to the number of the souls. Every man according to his eating shall make count for the lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year, and you shall take it from the sheep, from the goats, and you shall keep it unto the 14th day of the same month, and the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening, and they shall take of the blood and strike it on the two side posts and on the upper posts of the houses wherein they shall eat. And they shall eat the flesh in that night, roast with fire, and unleavened bread with bitter herbs shall they eat it. Eat it not of it raw nor soaked with water, but roast with fire, his head and his legs with all appurtenance thereof. And you shall not let nothing of it remain until the morning. And that which remains of it until the morning you shall burn with fire. And thus shall you eat of it, with your loins girded, with shoes on your feet, and your staff in your hand, you shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. I will pass through the land of Egypt this night, and I will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and against all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you, when I smite the land of Egypt. And this day shall be unto you for a memorial, and you shall keep it a feast to the Lord throughout your generations. You shall keep a feast by an ordinance forever. The Lord will bless to us the reading of his word. So we have the first Passover up on the board, and just to sort of give us the background on this story, we're going back to the time in Egypt when Israel were slaves in Egypt. They were under Pharaoh's rule, and God raised up a deliverer by the name of Moses. And Moses was to go to Pharaoh, and he was saying, let my people go so they may go out and worship me. And the response was, I will not let them go. And then one by one, God brought 10 plagues upon the people of Egypt. And finally, the last plague was the destroying angel would pass over the land of Egypt and would be killing all the firstborn in the house. So the firstborn for us in this year that we live, it's the oldest in the family, the oldest boy in the family. So I'm sure if you were the oldest boy, I'm looking at Jesse over here, and if you were the oldest boy and the announcement went forth that the destroying was angel was going to pass over his house, over where he lives over there, was going to pass over tonight, and this was the instructions to put the blood upon the doorpost up top and upon the side posts. I'm sure Jesse would be going out, hey, Dad, they have the blood applied. No, we have to cut the lawn first, and I got this thing to do, and I have to do a few quotes on some houses, and he's going all through. But Dad, he would be worried. Why? Because he know if the blood was not applied, then he would die. And you know, there's something in this life that's called death. And each one of us are subject to death. It's not just the firstborn. Yesterday there was a tragedy down in El Paso, Texas. 20 people died. They went into eternity unexpected. A gunman went into the Walmart in El Paso, Texas, killed 20 people, and there was something like 26 more people injured. And you say, well, that's really tragic. I get up this morning and I look in the news like I always do. First thing I do in the morning, look at the news, see what happened while I was sleeping. And there was another massive shooting last night. And there was 10 more people killed in Dayton, Ohio, and another 14 injured. In the last 215 days in the United States, there were 250 mass shootings. You hear that? 250 mass shootings. We were down in Nashville a couple of weeks ago. We were going around and doing our touristy things and so on. Never did we once contemplate walking into Walmart and dying. Life is unexpected. We are all subject to death. Each one here in this place, we're going to die. And that's why God has taken this story, and this story has remained in history. It's remained immortal. This event happened how many years ago? 4,500 years ago, and we're still talking about the Passover. People are still celebrating the Passover year after year. There's something to this. God is talking. God is talking to us. So we have this story here. A lamb was to be slain. There was going to be an offering. Someone would die for someone else. This lamb would die for the firstborn in the family. Well, this is not the first time a lamb was slain. When we think about, I remember Genesis chapter 22, and Abraham and Isaac, they walked up the hill. And Isaac said, here's the wood and here's the fire, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering? And then we see Isaac being put on the altar, and almost at the point of death, his dad has the knife raised and ready to plunge it into his breast. And an angel of the Lord spoke, and he says, don't do it. And he looked around, and here was the ram for the burnt offering. You go back a little bit farther, Genesis chapter 4. And you see the story of Cain and Abel, and another animal was slain. Adam and Eve, when they were in the garden, previous to that, more animals were slain so that their sin might be covered. So we're talking about something very serious. We're talking about your sins. And your sins, the Bible says, and your iniquities, every one of them shall be discovered. Could you imagine, this morning, I have this slide up on there, instructions for the observance of the Passover. Instead of this, could you imagine if I were to pick someone out of the audience, I would scan over the audience and I would find someone, and my eyes rest on Gerald. And I say to the boys in the booth back there, would you put the next slide up? And when we put the slide up, all Gerald's sins are up there. Wouldn't that be scary, Gerald? That'd be terrible. That would be terrifying. If mine would be up there, it would be more terrifying. And one by one, if we think that your sins, all the bad things that you have done, all the bad thoughts that you have had, if they were put up there, you would be ashamed. But not only that, God is holding you accountable for your sins. Are you taking it serious yet? That sin is a serious matter. You know, sometimes I will do the rope trick and I will show people and I will talk about people's sins and people will laugh. People will laugh about, we got drunk last night, and they will laugh about that. Oh, we put the car in the ditch, and they will laugh about that. And they will talk about all the sinful things they've committed. Listen, when you stand before God, there'll be no laughing. What does the Bible say? There shall be weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. So in the story of the Passover, we saw in that chapter that it was a selected lamb. Each person was to take a specific lamb and put it aside. And then it was to be spotless. It was to be without blemish. It wasn't supposed to be limping along or without with one eye or all covered with mange. It was supposed to be pure and clean. Now this lamb, it symbolizes the Lord Jesus Christ. You know why? Because in our Bibles, in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, we have a very special verse. The verse says, Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. So this celebration or this feast that they did 4,500 years ago, it was pointing forward to the time when Jesus would come into the world, he would be born, and he would be taken and nailed upon a cross. Behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. It was not just any lamb, it was a male lamb of the first year. The Lord Jesus Christ says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father except by me. There's not two ways of salvation. There's not 100 ways of salvation. You have people that call them pantheists. They have hundreds of gods. You know, we have a religious community down in the east end of the island. They do not believe in God. There's hundreds of them down there. They're called priests and nuns, I guess they would call them. Monjas and how would you say that? Like monks and female monks. They don't believe in God. Do you believe that? It's strange. Why would they be all gathering together? You know, I heard a story yesterday. Someone said they were bringing some equipment down, and it just had rained, and there's dew worms crawling across the road. And they just stopped all the equipment. You cannot pass over. You might kill this worm. They're thinking maybe one of their relatives or something like that. I'm not mocking them. I'm just saying we have to go to the Word of God to find out how you stand. The Bible says, be sure your sin will find you out. There's going to be coming a day when there's nothing left uncovered. Like I said, I picked on Gerald, but I just used him because I know him. He's my friend. And I want to illustrate this. If we were to put any of your sins on there, you would be ashamed. But yet you just laugh at God. You wouldn't want the rest of us to see them, but God sees them. And God is holding them all in account, each one. And then that specific lamb would be scrutinized from the 10th to the 14th day to see that it was perfect. And then they would sacrifice, you shall kill it in the evening. And then it was to be a substitutionary lamb. What do they mean by that? Well, first it was very personal. The whole idea of each of these ones, you would select it. And then you would scrutinize it. And then you would kill it. Because it's dying for you. So that's the whole idea, substitutionary. But not only that, it was a saving lamb. Because all the boys in all those houses where the blood was applied would be saved. So the last verse we read in that portion was that you shall do this for a memorial for all your generations. So we can go to the next slide. Numbers chapter 9. The Lord spoke unto Moses in the wilderness of Sinai in the first month of the second year after they were come out of the land of Egypt. Let the children of Israel keep the Passover at his appointed season. And if you would look down in verse 5, it says, and they kept the Passover on the 14th day of the first month at the evening in the wilderness of Sinai. Which member of the family would have been keeping that Passover with the most joy, with the most importance? Would it be the little sister? Or would it be the oldest boy in the family? Jesse would have been saying, that was so important. Dad, thank you for putting that blood there. Because now I'm alive. My friend Joey, his dad didn't put it. And he died because his father was too busy. Because his father didn't think it was important enough. How important do you think this is, this message this morning? Are we just talking into the air? you think, well, I'll just go to church every week and, you know, and I'll just put my money in the collection. And if you weren't here in the first meeting and you came to the second meeting, you notice we didn't even give you a chance to put money in the collection bag. Very strange, isn't it? Because we're not concerned with your money. We're concerned with your soul and where you will spend eternity. That's the purpose of gathering together. So when they gathered the second time, this is the first time when they come out of the captivity from the Egyptians, and they kept this Passover in the wilderness. The first Passover, memorial Passover, it looked back. The first actual Passover, which they were celebrating, it looked forward because they were killing that lamb. The firstborn was saved, and then they were to wear their clothes, and they were to have their shoes on, and they were to go out with haste because the destroying angel had passed over, and now the Egyptians were coming after them and wanted to kill everyone, and they were on the run. And now they're in the wilderness, and they celebrate the Passover. What does that say? They were obedient. You know, a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, he is one that has trusted Christ as his personal Savior. You know, the Lord said to his apostles, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Are you a believer? Have you repented of your sins? Have you trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior? This morning, there was a person that was received into the fellowship here this morning. But you know, there's Christians here that haven't been baptized. You say, well, you know, yeah, like maybe in the future I'll think about that. The Lord says, if you are saved, that's the next step in obedience. And what was the next step in obedience? To remember the Lord. You know, there's Christians here at this meeting that have never remembered the Lord Jesus Christ once in their whole life. Sounds strange. They'll be at every meeting of the year. They won't miss church. But the Lord says, this do in remembrance of me. And they've never once remembered the Lord Jesus Christ in the breaking of bread and the drinking of the cup. There's something wrong with that picture. And I tell people that story. And the next time I'm out to that same church, they would come to the second meeting. They don't understand. The Lord Jesus, he said, this do in remembrance of me. What part of that don't you understand? My heart is heavy because the Lord is calling his disciples to obedience and you are not following. We're going to go to Joshua chapter 5. Joshua, what happens now in the book of Joshua? They went into the conquered land. Moses has died. God has raised up a new believer, a new leader, pardon me. And then we'll verse 10. And the children of Israel encamped in Gilgal, and kept the Passover on the 14th day of the month, even at the plains of Jericho. And they did eat of the old corn of the land on the morning after the Passover, unleavened cakes and parched corn in the wilderness. The manna ceased on the morrow after they had eaten of the old corn of the land. Neither had the children of Israel manna any more, but they did eat of the fruit of the land of Canaan that year. Now, there's a little spiritual lesson in this. They come into the promised land. They were in the wilderness for 40 years. God fed them every day. Manna and quails. God was feeding them. Now they come into the promised land. And what do? God says, keep the Passover. So because he had promised that he was taking them out of Israel, he was bringing them into the promised land, and this is their new life. So what do? They're obedient, like Christians should be. And the interesting story about this is it's a time when they had been looked after, they had been babysat for 40 years. Do you know what that's like? You know, when my children were small, we had a bottle. They were bottle fed. And, you know, their mother would take the bottle and she would give them. They'd be crying, like I heard some crying here this morning, and very suddenly the crying stopped. What happened? Somebody went like this or something else and the crying stopped. You know what I mean? So the baby was being fed. And we've been spoon-fed lots of times. And it's nice to see these young men that were up here before giving out announcements, and then they'll be asked to speak a little message on a Sunday evening, and they get their feet wet, and little by little they start taking part and so on. And this is the normal Christian life. And what happened? The manna stopped, and then they ate of the old corn of the land. They went from like baby food into adult food. And the other interesting thing is that God had already prepared for them. When they drove out the other nations, that food was already there. But the next year, what happened? They had to go out in the spring of the year, and they had to dig up this ground, and they had to plant the seeds, and they had to be self-sufficient. And God wants that, especially for this young group of young people. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 rows here of young people. Isn't that wonderful? Praise God. Praise God. So much potential. But you know, as I was talking to a bunch of old guys down at camp, we were talking, and they said, you know, there was some that used to be with us, and they were naming all these young guys who were at camp with them and so on. And what happened to him? Well, he seemed to slide out, drift away, and he got involved in business. And this guy, he's very successful and so on. And they would name these people. They seem to slide out. They lose sight of what the Lord has told us to do. What's he say? This do in remembrance of me. Stay close to the Lord. Be at the Lord's Supper every Sunday morning. Be there. It was wonderful this morning as we feasted upon the roast lamb. It was wonderful. I heard a wonderful expression this morning that I never heard before. We're going to slide ahead a little bit to 2 Chronicles chapter 30. And 2 Chronicles up in Summerside, I'm preaching through the kings of Judah. And I'm enjoying this study, but every time it says, this was a good king. He did what was right in the sight of the Lord. And you're not reading very many verses later, and all of a sudden you see him going downhill. He starts off so good. He starts cleansing the temple. He starts rebuilding the temple and collecting things to furnish the temple. And the next thing you know, he's given the stuff away to a foreign king so he won't come and invade him. 2 Chronicles chapter 30, and when I talk to some people, they say, yay, King Hezekiah, he's my favorite king. He was a wonderful king, no doubt. And Hezekiah sent to all Israel and Judah and wrote letters to Ephraim and to Manasseh that they should come to the house of the Lord to Jerusalem to keep the Passover unto the Lord God of Israel. We're not going to read the rest of the story. There's a lot there. But what has happened? We had King David king over Israel. King Saul first, and then King David, and then his son Solomon. And then he had a son called Rehoboam. And in Rehoboam's time, the kingdom was divided into two. We had the southern kingdom of Judah and Benjamin, where Jerusalem was, and Judah. And then we had the 10 northern tribes. And Israel was commanded 3 times a year to come back to Jerusalem to celebrate the feast. There were 7 feasts of Jehovah. And they were sent, told to come back. This would keep them close to the Lord. When they celebrated the Passover, they would remember that there was a lamb died for a man. Okay? And when we make that death personal, when we say the Lord, the Apostle Paul said, the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. So what had happened at this point, there was a king up in the north, and he said, well, if we just let that, if we don't have anything to replace it, these 7 feasts, everybody's going to leave the northern kingdom and go back down to the southern kingdom. They're going to go down to Jerusalem, and I'm going to lose control. So he put 2 golden calves up in the northern part of Israel. So this is what they were doing. They were celebrating their own false feasts to the Lord. So there had been a bunch of kings come along. There was two lines of kings. And then the Assyrians came along, and they took the northern kingdom. They carried them off to Assyria. They took them captive. They captured them, took them away. And they were slaves up in Assyria. So Hezekiah, at this time, he says, now's the time for the kingdom to be united. Now's our opportunity to take all our brothers up there, what's left of them, and bring them into fellowship with the Lord again. So he sends out letters up to the north to all the tribes. It was 10 tribes up there. And when they got the letter, and the man would stand up, and he says, King Hezekiah declares that we're going to celebrate the Passover this year. What does it say? They laughed him to scorn. For 250 years, nobody had thought about bringing them together. Only one man. Do you remember who that one man was? There was only one man had the desire to bring those two tribes together, and that was the prophet Elijah. Remember when he stood on Mount Carmel? He built 12, he built an altar representing the 12 tribes. He realized that they should be united together. And now it's Hezekiah's opportunity. This is why he is one of the heroes of the Bible, because he was God's man. He wanted to do things God's way. And he called them together. This is a very interesting Passover, because this Passover was celebrated a month late. You say, well, can I just do things my own way? Actually, there was a provision made in the law of Moses that if someone all of a sudden, say my wife and I, we were down visiting my cousin, and all of a sudden at that a family reunion, someone died, and we were close to the body. Well, we would be contaminated. We wouldn't be allowed to celebrate the Passover. This is the idea. So there was a provision made. If you were unclean from touching a dead body or some other reason, you could celebrate the Passover a month later. It's interesting, isn't it, that God makes allowances, and this time the people were not clean, and he's calling them in because they had been living like pigs. They had been sacrificing to idols. They had been involved in all kinds of things, adultery and fornication and lots of vile sins they had been involved in. And God says, listen, if you want to get right with God, today's your opportunity to get right with God. How about you? You want to get right with God this morning? You don't have to wait for another month. You don't have to wait for another year till Passover comes around again. You can get right with God this morning. That's God's desire, that you would recognize your sinfulness and come into His presence. And then we'll go to the next Passover, 2 Kings chapter 35. And this one was under the King Josiah. King Josiah was a very interesting little guy. He was 8 years old when they made him king. At 16, he began to seek the Lord. Interesting, 16 years old. Are you seeking the Lord? Is there some young people here that are thinking, well, you know, I'm okay. I'm with mom and dad. I don't really have to worry. Listen, young people, it's time to start seeking the Lord. Just because you're with mom and dad, that's no safety. That's no guarantee. You know, I heard a young man say, listen, when I was growing up, I heard them talking about the coming of the Lord. And I heard about the rapture, and they were preaching much on that. And they said the Lord could come like a thief in the night. And I would be thinking, you know, I'll be close to mom, and I'll just grab onto her apron strings, and I'll go right up with her. But what happens if you're at school? Preacher asked. Hadn't thought about that. It convicted him of his sin. It convicted him of his lost eternity where he would be spending and hearing the cries and the pain and the suffering. And he said, I want to get right with God right now. And that young man trusted the Lord Jesus Christ. 2 Chronicles 35. Moreover, Josiah kept a Passover unto the Lord in Jerusalem, and they killed the Passover on the 14th day of the third month. Verse 11, they killed the Passover, and the priests sprinkled the blood from their hands, and the Levites flayed them. Verse 17, the children of Israel that were present kept the Passover at that time and the Feast of Unleavened Bread 7 days. And there was no Passover like that kept in Israel from the days of Samuel the prophet. Neither did all the kings of Israel keep such a Passover as Josiah kept, and the priests and the Levites and all Judah and Israel that were present and the inhabitants of Israel. Wouldn't that be something to go down on your obituary, on your gravestone? Josiah kept the greatest Passover in the history of Israel. What made that Passover different than the first Passover? Well, remember the first Passover, they sprinkled the blood on the doorposts and the header. That's where they sprinkled the blood. And this time, they went to the temple and they took the lamb there and they led it to the priest. And he cut the throat, and they caught the blood, and they sprinkled the blood upon the altar. There was a time when the Levites or the sons of Aaron, the Levites, they had different duties that they had to do. They had to be carrying the holy vessels of the tabernacle, and now the tabernacle had finished, and the temple was in place, and they had to adapt. They had to realize that, listen, God has something for me to do that's different than I was doing before, and they started doing another duty to celebrate the tabernacle. What made this tabernacle different, this Passover different than the other ones? Well, there was the liberality of Josiah. They had donated so many animals that were to be killed, and then he says to the rulers, he says, I want you to donate. And then he looked at the priests, and I want you to donate. And they were making all these great donations of animals to be sacrificed. So Hezekiah, he celebrated the Passover after the captivity of the northern kingdom. And then Josiah, he kept the Passover just before the southern kingdom of Israel went into captivity by Babylon. So what are the lessons here? Well, you see, in the time of Hezekiah, the people, God had kept sending prophets to them. Return to the Lord. Return to the Lord. He sent the prophet Elijah to them. And they rebelled. They stoned the prophets. And then when we come to Josiah, this is the greatest Passover ever in the history of Israel. And you know what happened? We only have 4 more kings, and then the southern tribe of the kingdom of Judah, they were carried away into Babylon. 4 generations, how many years is that? Not even 100 years. They were carried away. How about our families? How is it with your sons? How is it with your daughters? You know, this morning I heard that baby crying in the back, and it reminded us of Christy Amanda, because there's that girl cry and there's that boy cry, and you hear that cry and you think, you know, like that's 17 years ago for Christy. What's going to happen in the next 10 years? What's her walk with God going to be? She's under our house. She's being, okay, it's 8:45, let's go to meeting. It's not, are you coming to meeting? It's 8:45, we're going. There's leadership. How are you doing with your family? Are they going on? If they're not, are you praying for them? Or have you given up on them? I want to encourage us here this morning, brothers and sisters, to don't lose grip of the things that are most important in this life. Our families. On Thursday mornings, there's a group of men that meet down here and we pray. And we pray for people here. If you have a prayer request, you can give it to myself. You can give it to Don. You can give it to Jerry. You can give it to Jock. You can give it to Bill. Okay? There's different of us men that have been meeting every Thursday morning. There's a group of sisters that pray on Tuesday mornings. We come on Wednesday night and we're praying. If you have loved ones that don't know the Lord, give us their names and we'll pray for them. because we care about you. We care about your families. We're always looking for people to pray for, and we rejoice. How many times were we praying for Carlos and Carol? And now they're here. They know the Lord. There's a different understanding. When they came here, their understanding of who Jesus was is completely different than now. It's not coercion. It's not brainwashing. It's something that every person, they make that personal decision themselves. Like we tell the gospel to someone, we say, listen, you're a sinner and you deserve God's punishment because of all the terrible things you've done, but God sent his son to be the Savior, your Savior. Would you accept him? And Carlos is like, I don't get it. I said, well, what don't you get? And then Carson would explain to him. And then Leonard would explain to him. And then I would explain to him. Different ones would explain. But you know who opened his eyes? It wasn't Carson or Leonard or myself. It was the Lord that opens his eyes. Salvation is of the Lord. So when that young man, like I referenced to Jesse, saying, Dad, have you applied the blood? Is that you? Have you applied the blood yet? Have you realized, yes, Jesus died for my sins? And then we'll flip over to Ezra chapter 6. You know, it's interesting because on my little chart up here, as you can see, this man come up with the idea that there were only 6 observances in the Bible, and that's why I put 1A. That was my notes there. There's 7. Actual references. There's 73 mentions of the Passover in the Bible. 73. But there's actually only 7 times where you actually see them keeping the Passover. We know that the parents of the Lord Jesus, they went up to Jerusalem every year. But you don't read, they kept the Passover. These 7 references that I put, we see people keeping the Passover. When we come into Ezra chapter 6 and verse 19. This is the first Passover since the people come back from captivity. So this was the people when they come back from Babylon, and they were keeping the Passover with Ezra and Nehemiah. And the children of Israel, the children of the captivity, kept the Passover upon the 14th day of the first month. God brings them back. And God always, when he delivers somebody, he doesn't just bring them into the land to do whatever you want to do. Why? Because as soon as that happens, you go back doing the old things. And that's what happened to Israel until the time of Christ. When Christ come back, they were walking away from God. They were far from God. They actually crucified the Son of God. Remember when I said in the beginning, when the story of Moses, he says, let my people go to go into the wilderness to worship. 3 days journey into the wilderness to worship. And then we'll finish on the last one, Luke chapter 22. And verse 15, and he said unto them, with desire I have desired. Strange wording. With great desire I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I say unto you, I will not any more eat of it until it be fulfilled in the kingdom of God. And he took the cup and he gave thanks and said, take, eat, divide this among yourself. And I say unto you, I shall not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God shall come. And he took bread and gave thanks and brake it, saying, this is my body which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. Verse 20, likewise also the cup after the supper, saying that this cup is the New Testament in my blood which is shed for you. So if you were following the reading, verse 15 and 16 and 17 are dealing with the Passover. One of the things that was required with the Passover, we saw in the first slide, was it was an animal to be taken and clean. It was to be a clean animal, and it was slain. and the blood was shed, and the blood was sprinkled upon the doorposts of the house, and the people that were inside were saved by that precious blood. The Lord says, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. I will skip over that house, and I will go to the next house where there's no blood applied, and that person is going to die. There's something that's going around, and I want to address it right now. There are some people believe that we should be keeping the Passover in 2019. There are people that would be maybe classified as Messianic Jews, and they would be keeping the seven feasts. They would say, I believe in the Lord Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. And then there's a Hebrew roots movement that is practicing the Passover and keeping all the feasts. I want to tell you something right now from the beginning. They are not keeping the Passover. What they're keeping nowadays is not the Passover. What do I mean by that? Well, the Passover instructions were that it was not to be done inside your house or inside your yard. It was only to be practiced where I have placed my name, and that was the tabernacle, and that was the temple of God. Nowadays, there is no temple in Jerusalem, and that's why they said, well, we'll make our own version of the Passover, and we'll start practicing this. And if you read any books on the Passover, the modern Passover, they will talk about four cups, and this cup, and this cup, and this cup. And when I was reading a commentary on this, and they were saying, well, the Lord, in verse 17, he took the third cup. The Bible doesn't talk about any cups. These are man's inventions. Brothers and sisters, don't be led astray by false teachers. Go back to the Word of God. If you have any doubts, don't ask me. Go back to the original passage. Go back. And then you don't have to learn Greek and Hebrew to do that. Just go back and read it in your Bible, your English Bible, your Spanish Bible, your Portuguese Bible, your Chinese, your Mandarin Bible. The same message is there. Another interesting thing that happened, when you go to John's Gospel chapter 2 and verse 13, in John's Gospel chapter 11, it is called the Jews' Passover. When you go to John's Gospel chapter 6, it is called the Passover, a feast of the Jews. It was never a feast of the Jews. It was the Lord's Passover. This morning, we remembered the Lord Jesus Christ in the breaking of bread and the drinking of the cup. This morning, to me, was one of the most Christ-centered meetings we've had in a long time. We were here focused on the death, the burial, and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. But I want to tell you one thing else in closing. The Lord Jesus is coming again. We preach Christ crucified, risen, and coming again. And if he comes again, I want to ask you this morning, are you ready? Do you have your sins forgiven? Are you right with God? Or are you at enmity with any brothers or sisters here? I can look over the audience and I can say, I can go up and I can shake hands with anybody here. I have no animosity, no bitterness. It's great to be in fellowship with God and fellowship with one another. And if you have something that's holding you back, get right with God. The Lord's coming. I believe the Lord's coming very soon. I believe we have to hear more about the preaching of the coming of the Lord, the rapture of the saints, and the blessings of heaven. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, this morning, as we have contemplated this Passover feast and we think about the ultimate Passover, Christ. He was the Lamb without blemish and without spot. Father, we're thankful that he was led as a lamb to the slaughter. We're thankful so many voices are proclaiming, behold the Lamb of God which takes away the sin of the world. And yet people, they still have this idea that they have to do enough good to merit God's heaven. But if their good is good enough, then Jesus died in vain. Father, we just pray for those that are contemplating this message and thinking about what must I do to be saved. We would echo with Paul and Silas, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved. Amen.